Okay, we're going to start here. Mitzvah Shem on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Yesterday we discussed a little bit about Moliach Hareyu Kiroseach. And we spoke a little bit about Kovush Hareyu Kimavushal. These were two principles in Hilchas Bliya that obviate the need for actual heat and bishul. So we'll just, I want to just recap what we said yesterday.
Terrific.
We had a statement in the name of Shmuel with regard to a sakin sheshochat ba, and the beis hashchita is rosachas. And therefore, the sakin is bolei adam.
It's hurled out of that shear, which is funny.
Excellent.
Which is nice to hear.
And also lachtoch bo yilal akot roseach. Again, there are a number of different shitas here, which we went through yesterday. But the Gemara itself seems to be matir.
The famous one.
Yeah. Matir that you could cut tzonin. The only thing is, you need something called hadocha. Then we went on to the other two statements of Shmuel. And what is that? Moliach Hareyu Koseach, which is very similar to the Beis HaShechita that we spoke about before. And the other is Kovush Hareyu Kimavusha. Now, we have a little bit of a controversy about the tradition of Rabbi Yochanan. Ravin brought back from Eretz Yisrael a tradition that Rabbi Yochanan never accepted these two principles of Shmuel, Moliach Keroseach and Kovush Kimavusha. Which means that according to Rabin's his transmission, the version that he had, Rabbi Yochanan held that Moliach Eino Keroseach, and even though we have a brisa later on that says that Dag Tomei Moluach Mavlia Estamo B'Dag Tohar She'imo. So he put two fish, one was kosher and one was not kosher, together in a pot, and he salted them. Not only is he enjoined, obviously, from eating the dag tummy, but even from the dag tar, because there's an asinus tam and a blias tam as a result of moliach. So that would seem to prove clearly that moliach is kroseach. How could we possibly quote Rabbi Yochanan as denying that principle, moliach kroseach? Setosis, Dibra Masa Moliach, on the top here of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, mentions the possibility that Dogim are different because they're Bolim Al Yidei Molicha. Why? Shari Hakrum Shalahem Rach. They don't have a real thick skin. They're very soft by nature, and therefore they actually absorb the tam even from something as low flame, low key as moliach. But in a normal case, for example, of basar, maybe moliach is eino keroseach. But Abaye says that it's impossible to accept this tradition of Ravin in the name of Rabbi Yochanan because of Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami took the kli cheres that they used for molicha, and they were molech, and the dam and the basar went into this the porous pottery of something called a pinko, which is a kli cheres, and he broke it, he smashed it, as if to say there's no way you can get the blia of dam out of this kara because the kli cheres had a yotzi v'dei nofi liyola. Now Rav Ami would not have broken a kli unless there was ample reason to do so, which means that he had heard from his Rebbe, Rav Yochanan, he was a Talmud of Rav Yochanan, that Moliach Hareyu Keroseach, and therefore this Kara, this Pinka, had absorbed the Tam of Dam into the Kara of Cheres, and that's why he broke the Cheres, that no one should use it for any other purposes, for Heter. And therefore, Abai rejects this version of Ravin outright. It cannot be that was the opinion of of Rabbi Yochanan. I have here a footnote. He says, Kasha, Madua Shavra, why did he have to break the Kli Cheres? Madua Shalo Yishtamish Balachilas Tsode, why can he use it specifically for cold food? Valo Klisha Balua Mi Iser, if you have, let's say, a tray for pot, a tray for dish, is Mutal Yishtamish Bot Tsode in Al Yidei Adocha. All you need is Adocha, he rinses out the dish, and you can use it for Tsode. In fact, we had that earlier in the case of the Sak and Sheshachadpa, that even though the Beis Hashkita is Kiroseach, and therefore the Sak and Sheshachadpa was Bolea Tam Dam, nevertheless, we said Hadoch would be Mata using the Sakin for Tzonin. So why not apply the same logic to the case of this Kara, this Pinka, that absorbs the Dam of Malicha? Tirat Ramban, Shechasha Shemi Yavol Lishtamish Ba Af Bechamin, that they might use it for hot stuff. Yeah, but then you have to add. So why not say the same thing by the Sakin Shel Shechita? Either they needed the Sakin desperately for Shechita, they couldn't just break it into pieces, or somehow in the case of Sakin, it's easier to tell the people, you know, this is a Sakin Shel Shechita, it has an absorption of dam for the Beis HaShechita, you're not allowed to use it for Chamin. Then the Rabban offers a second answer, and he says that Kli Cheres Shebolo Isur Bechamin also Lishtamish by Nafilu B'Tzone, that even though the general rule is that a Kli Isur you're allowed to use for Tzone, but not so in the case of a Kli Cheres. Kli Cheres, if the original Bliya was Bechamin, you can't use it even for Tzonin. There's such a massive volume of Bliya of Iser into a Kli Cheres, it's so porous. Ashenechshavim ki gufo shel Iser mamish. So that's l'chatchila. You're not allowed to use this Kli Cheres that was used for Iser Bechamin even for Tzonin. A Pel of a Chidush. That it's Nechshav Kegufo Shal Iser Mamash. However, Im Avar, Nunz B'dievet, Vishtamish Ben B'Tzonin, so you don't have to throw away the Tzonin, but Ton HaMaychal HaDocha, Kidin Machal Heter Tzonin, Shenoga B'Iser Tzonin. Let's say you had two foodstuffs and they were both cold. One was treif and one was kosher. The kosher one, if it came in contact with the non-kosher one, needs hadocha. However, the kli itself, the kli cheres, since it was used by the iser b'chamin, is no longer allowed to be used. Again, if you used it b'dieved, then you could get away with, in the case of tzoni, get away with hadocha. But you're not allowed to use the kli l'chatchila, because we're always afraid that maybe you won't do hadocha, and you'll eat it without hadocha. So whenever the Chachamim required hadocha, then they said l'chatchila, you can't set it up in such a way that there'll be that minimum bliya that requires hadocha. So even hadocha is a barabbin of bliya. It's also halacha bliya. And therefore the kli cheres, since you're not allowed to use it for tzonim, and the reason for that is because if you ever did, you need hadocha. Therefore, he broke the Kli Cheres. He completely smashed it to smithereens. Now he quotes the Ritva, and he says he doesn't understand why Rav Ami didn't sell this pinka to a guy. It's not also by law. I mean, dam is not also by law. So he says that me'achar shekara yeshana he. Ein chashash shem yikno so Yehudi mi yado. Oh, he says you might say that he didn't want to sell to a guy, because the guy might sell it to a Jew, and the Jew who buys it for the guy doesn't realize that it was originally a kli cheres that was used for malicha of basa with the bliya of dominant. So he says no, there's no such chashash, because it's a kli Yashon, it's a Kari Yashon, and it's not so feasible or probable that a Jew would pay money for a second-hand Kli Cheres. You know, Kli Cheres were not considered the most expensive Kalim, and certainly not an old Kli Cheres. Elisha Rabbi Ami lo choshash lo ad kedei kach v'lochein shavra. In other words, Rav Ami said, you know what, it's not worth it for me to hassle and find a guy to buy this kli cheres. Right, he could have sold it maybe on eBay, I don't know, but it wasn't worth it for him to go through the hole, so instead he broke it. Now, how do we prove from the fact that Rabbi Ami broke the kli, this kli cheres that was used for melicha, that Moliach Kiroseach. L'chora, you can still argue that there's no proof that Moliach Kiroseach. Why? Because, after all, what do we have? Let's go through the evidence here. We had Ravin, who quoted Rabbi Yochanan when he came back from Eretz Yisrael, as saying that Kavush Eidoka Mavushal. And the Gemara never rejects Ravin. But yet, the language of Abaye, when he heard this statement of Ravin in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, was Hada Ravin Lesa. So what does that mean, Lesa? Yesh Lachkar. Lesa means we reject Ravin. Does that mean, A, we reject him outright, even as far as Kovish Kimavushal, meaning he said Kovish Eino Kimavushal? Or shall we say that Abaye only rejects half of what Ravin, his version of Rabbi Yochanan, namely as far as Moliach Eino Kiroseach, but he definitely accepted that possibility that Rabbi Yochanan held that Kovish Eino Kimavushal against Shmuel. And the proof of the pudding is because what was Abaye's whole big deal? He said that Rav Ami took this pinka, which was used as a karas cheres for melicha purposes, and he got rid of it. Obviously, he was worried about melicha kiroseach, but there was no discussion about kovash kibavushal. So maybe as far as kovash kibavushal, we can accept the tradition of Ravin that Rabbi Yochanan held on kovash eino kibavushal, which have tremendous implications in halacha in Yoridea. But the answer is that it says Hada Ravin Lesa. And the implication of Hada Ravin Lesa is that anything that Ravin said, you know, his transmission of his very strange version of Rabbi Yochanan is completely incorrect. So he quotes here in the footnote in Masifta, he quotes the Chosin HaYeshuos, who says that Bavadai Gam Ravin, even Ravin himself, lo omar she'ein nesidas tam al yidei melichu kvisha. Even Ravin did not claim that Rabbi Yochanan denied these concepts called Moliach Kiroseach and Kvisha Kimavushal outright. Ella, but what rather he said was b'shem Rabbi Yochanan she'nesidas tam she'ein al yidei ha'or ein oseres b'dievet. In other words, that these categories of blia, which is called moliach and kavush, in both cases there's no hot bishul going on over here. That although you should avoid that, but the evan it's mutter. So Abai now quotes the story of Rabbi Ami with the pinka, that he broke the pinka, he smashed it to smithereens, and therefore you see that Malicho Seres, that even Vidyevin it's a problem. Because again, if it was only Lechatchila problem, he wouldn't have broken the Kli. He broke the Kli because he identified Malich Kerosech as an outright, complete Blia. The Blia is a Blia HaOseres. Not some sort of Blia which Lechatchila you have to avoid. But rather it's even Vidyevin HaOseres. And therefore, says the Chosin Yeshuos, Ein Makom Lechalik Bein Melicha Ukvisha. In other words, since even Ravin admitted that Melicha Ukvisha belonged to the same category, that means a Blia without Bishul, which L'chatchila we have to avoid, and we recognize the power of the Blia, just that according to Ravin's version of Rabbi Yochanan, B'dievin it would be okay. Now that we've seen that even B'dievin we got to get rid of it, because we saw that Rav Ami went so far as to destroy the Kli Cheres because of Maliach Keroseach, then we're going to apply the same logic to Kovash Kibavushal. That Kovash Kibavushal is a serious Bliya, and it's not just a L'chatchila thing that we should be pious, you know, and avoid it if we can, but with the evidence Mutah, but rather it's a Bliya Hoseres. So here's the deal, Rabosai. I'm going to wake you up in the middle of the night with a quiz question. I'm going to ask you, is there such a thing as a Bliya Hoseres without Bishol, without Cham? And you're going to give me two answers. Number one, Maliach, and number two, Kovash. In truth, you can give me a third answer, which is the Beis Hashchita, because we're saying that the Beis Hashchita is also, but that comes back.
That's
more or less similar to Maliach Rei Kroset, but really, actually, there are three answers to that question.
But that one, isn't there a dispute, though? I mean, as to whether B'dievet you'd have to or not? I mean,
well, the question was, what would be B'dievet if he cut Sodei with it? Where the Gemara says that, according to one opinion, you require Adacha, so what would be B'dievet? If he, let's say, he uses that knife to cut cold cheese without doing Adacha. But as far as Roseach is concerned, let's say we cut boiling hot cheese with a fleishig knife. And again, what makes this knife fleishig? It's not fleishig. It's much worse than that. The next thing is going to be about fleishig knives. But we're talking about a knife that has a blea of dominant. And that's because the Beis Hashchit is considered Roseach. In such a case, if he cuts anything, forget about cheese, if he cuts any heter that's Roseach, then it's also b'dievet. Because that's a Bliya Hoseres. Now, is there such an entity as a Bliya that should be prohibited, but it's not a Bliya Hoseres? It's only L'chatchila Asur? So that's according to the Chosin Yeshuos, the Shita of Ravin, when he came back from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. That Kavush and Maliach is only a Bliya that we should avoid. But it's not Ad Kedei Kach a Bliya Hoseres. Okay, Yosef Rav Kano. So let's see if we all have the same place. We're on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and the first word in the line is Yosef. So again, it's hard to say, but in the skinny lines, it's like smack in the middle of the skinny lines. If you see a line that starts with the word Yosef. Yosef Rav Kahana Achui Deravi Yehuda Kavei Derav Huda. This was the last piece of Gemara we did yesterday. Yosef v'ka'omar ka'ora shabalach ba'basa asu lechel ba'roseach. So it means that since he did malicha, there was a bli of dam now through maliach harei k'roseach as a result of salting the meat. And now this utensil, this kara, that has a bli of dam in it, is not allowed to be used for anything that's heter, if it's roseach, if it's hot. Okay, so that's more or less a repeat of what we've seen up to date. Meaning that maliach harei k'roseach, and therefore you can't use that kli in the context of heter if it's roseach. In the context of tzonen, then we would need a hadocha. But here's the sefer. This is the chidush of the halacha here of Rav Kahana. Tznon shechatocho besakin shelbosa. I added the word shelbosa here. So now what happens is you have a radish, which is a vegetable. It's obviously cold and it is mutter, it's heter. And it's parvo. Right? A radish is parvo. Okay? So you hear my three descriptions of this radish. It's number one, heter. You're allowed to eat a radish. I don't personally like radishes, but my father, may rest in peace, I mean, a radish was like, for him, it was memories from his childhood, you know. He had a funny Yiddish phrase. You know, the Yiddish idioms are very cute. When they wanted to talk about an Amoritz, totally the rabbis, they say, Ekenish machin ha-moitzi ha-feretach. He didn't know how to make ha-moitzi lechem in Aretz on a radish. Anyway, so the radish now is heter. Number two, the radish is cold, right? It's not, we're not talking about a heated up radish. That's the second description of a radish. And number three, it's parva. Parva meaning it's not milchik sofleishik, except for one problem. He cuts this radish with a sakin shel basar. Now, here we have a tradition of Rav Kahana. And if you know the style here of Abaye seems to be the one who you know, he's got the bowling ball, he knocks down the pins. He always seems to reject that tradition. So the tradition that we have from Rav Kahana is mutali ochlo bekutach. Kutach is a classic milchika porridge. You know, it's a kind of a yogurt mix. The Gemara Pesachim has a whole discussion about how you make kutach. And one of the ingredients in kutach is cholov. It's actually called siume cholov, which means it's a whey of milk. But whatever it is, it's milchik, that's for sure. And now he's adding this radish into this whole mixture, which is milchik. And the radish was cut by a fleshika knife. I think, John, in your family, you had such a shiloh not long ago.
Recently.
No? Yeah, recently. So, well, it's not exactly that shiloh, but something very, very similar.
Very similar.
They have it all the time.
So here you have a heter. You know, the only problem is that Abaye is and Rav is that they're all going to take this apart, you know, piece by piece, and see if we can really. Now one element in our description of tznon, we have three elements, it was omitted, and that is what's called a davar charif. So you have certain foods that are very sharp, and when they're very sharp, they have a particular propensity of blia. They can be bolea something that normally would not be subject to blia. The charifus itself brings out the blia. So imagine there's a blia of fleishiks inside this sakin, and now when you cut the radish with the sakin, the radish, because of its sharpness, has the ability to extract that tang of basar that's inherent in the sakin.
Do we say it's the same level as roseach, or is it like a?
I don't know. That's what we have to see here. This is going to be the sugya back and forth. You know, the famous sugya of Dogim Sha'ol Bekara is right around the corner from us here. And hopefully we'll get to it today. That sugya is all about what's called a Davar She'eino Charif. And we're going to see that all the heterim that we have, like, for example, if you cook fish in a fleshik kapach, and now you want to eat that fish with milchiks, and that's called heterim bala. And then we get to the sugya called Nat Bar Nat Hetera. All that is built on the fact that fish is not a davar charif. So we're going to have to see how the davar charif enters into the equation. So first, Abaye, who he himself rejects this halacha, but he tries to justify the logic of Rav Kahana, and he says, "My timer, what's the logic of Rav Kahana?" So Rabbaye, high hetera bola, the high isura bola, meaning there's a difference between the resha of Rav Kahana, which is the ka'ara shemolach babosar, that which was nivla, which was absorbed in the kara, was isur, means it was dam, as opposed to the seifa of Rav Kahana, when he cuts a radish with a fleshika knife, that was a blia of heter. In other words, that which was nivla inside the tznon, which is the tam of basar, is hetera. Now we can even go one step further. Even the socket itself, the knife itself, which was bolea, which is parallel to the kara that was bolea in the case of malicha the dam, the socket itself was only bolea heter. Why? Because you cut kosher meat with it. You didn't cut trefa meat with it. So the taste of the meat that went into the socket itself is heter. Now, we have to admit one thing, that Abaye has successfully differentiated between the two cases, between the Resha, the Ka'ara Shemolach Babosar, and the Seifa, the Tznon Shechatocho Besakin. They are two different cases, because in the case of Dam, you talk about Isura Bola, in the case of Basar, you're talking about Hetera Bola. However, You know, if I differentiate between A and B, it doesn't mean that therefore there are halachic ramifications, that the conclusion is based, is justified by that distinction. Omalei Abaye. Abaye says, okay. Omalei Rava, excuse me. Rava says to Abaye, okay, I accept your distinction. But what difference does it make? Kibola had Tera Mayavi. I don't care. It doesn't, it's not relevant to me, the fact that the Basar was, that was absorbed into the sakin was heter, but sof hi hetera the osili de isurahu. He took this heter and he brought it into isur, the isur ka'acha. Why? Because he took the basar and he ate it together with the kutach, which is milchix. How could you allow him to take the tznon, that radish, which is now the conduit, so to speak, which is carrying the basar from the sakin, and eat that tznon together with kutach, together with milk? Good. It's very nice and it's very fine and dandy that the original blia that we're dealing with, when he cut meat with this knife and then he cut the tznon with the knife, it's all basar, which is hetera. Oh, okay, it's hetera, great. It's a tear. If you want to eat a flesh kabil, you know, go ahead and take the radish and put it on your, you know, put it on your steak plate. But now you want to put it into the kutach. Now you're mixing milk and meat together. Now I have a long note here, in which he proves that li'inyan halacha sover abaye shetznot shechatocho besakin shel basar also lechlo bekutach kibavur lahalon. So later on in the sugi, we're going to see that Abai himself prohibits using this radish that was cut with a fleshy knife in milchix. But divrei Abai kanemu rak kedei lefaresh divrei Rav Kahana shehitim. So again, this is not Abai's own opinion, and this was Abai's desperate answer to the question by time in the Rav Kahana to make some sense out of Rav Kahana. Now he says kosva atosus. Now Tosus is trying to analyze the logic of Abaye in justifying Rav Kahana, because after all, Rava really smashes this to smithereens. Good, hetera bola. What was hetera good? What relevance does that have if he wants to eat this flesh of the radish with milchix? So Tosus suggests the following. Hatznon bola rak ta'am kolush shel basar. Now, Rabosa, you know, we've been talking about Belia for the last, I don't know how many weeks, but now we have a new, qualitatively new category of Belia, which is called a ta'am kolush. Kuf lamin vav shin. It's a weak ta'am. Now, when I look at this radish, how do I classify that tam basar that's balua in the radish as a result of cutting the radish with a knife? I would have said it's genuine, bona fide, full-fledged tam. It's got a tam basar in it. No. This is called a tam kolish. Why? Because there was never contact between the meat and the radish directly, correct? Lobola has no, they are basar atzma. There was no direct blia of the radish from the meat itself. Elarak me'asakin. Do you follow? It's a double. It's a two stage process, secondary process. Excellent. He says the following. First, he cuts meat with this knife. Okay, that's stage number one. So now the knife is bolea the tam of basar, and now he cuts with this sakin. Tznon, and the tznon gets the tam of the basar that itself was nivla in the sakin, but there was never any direct blia from the basar to the tznon. So that's called in Tosus's language a tam kolosh. A secondary tam is a tam kolosh. V'tam kolosh kaze eno oseres. Do you remember we spoke earlier about the two categories of blia? In the case of Aliyah, Harei Kuroseach, and Kovash Kavushal, there's a Bliya Oseres, and there's a Bliya She'en Oseres, just that you need Adocha, and you have to avoid it. And that would be the, according to the Chosin HaYeshuas, that would be the Machlokas here between Ravin and Abaye, or we'll call it Ravin and Ravami, who destroyed the Kli. Now we have an actual case which Tosis classifies as a Bliya She'ed Oseres. What's a Bliya She'ed Oseres? It's called a Tam Kolush, a weak Tam. V'ed Oseres. Then he adds the following. Im b'shas ha-bliya adayin lo hoya iser v'yolo. Wow. Listen to this. If I would take a knife and cut a piece of the vela, and then I use that knife to cut a radish, would that radish be permissible to eat or not? Let's see if you'll fall into my trap. L'chor, you're going to say it's permissible. Why? It's a tam kolish, right? The radish never absorbed the tam of the nevela. It was the sakin that absorbed the tam of the nevela and passed it on to the radish. So that's what we call a bliya of a tam kolish ain't oseres. It's a tam kolish. Then, Tosis says that if from the get-go, in stage number one, again, the tam kolish always has two stages, but in stage number one, it was already asur, then even a tam kolish becomes awesome. So Enochinami, I'll ask you, what's the status of the tznon? What kind of tam does it have after it was cut by a trefa knife, a knife that was used for the vela? The answer is that's a tam kolish, but it's a tam kolish of iser. If it's a tam kolish of iser, that means from the get go, from stage one, the tam that went into the socket was a tam of iser. Then a tam of iser, even when it's passed on to a secondary michal, which is tam kolish, that is a bliya hoseres. However, if the original bliya was a bliya shel heter, and now that bliya is going to be passed on to stage two, to the second machal, it means the second machal is receiving now a tam kolish, but it's a tam of heter kolish, then it's ein hoseres. So now he cuts fleshiks with a knife, then he cuts radish with that knife. So the tam kolish in the radish is a tam shel heter. Why? Because basar is mutter. He didn't cut a nevela with this knife, he cut basar kosher with the knife. Basar shchuta. Is memela, what he's left with is a tam kolish in the radish, and a tam kolish eino oseres. Hence we understand Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, "Utzdon shechatocha v'sakin mutar li'ochlo v'kutach." Why? Because the tam of basar in the stone is what? A tam kolish, and a tam kolish of heter ain't oseres. Beautiful. I'm so excited about this because it puts the sugya in a whole new perspective. We have new rules and regulations that are operating here. And then Tosis rejects it. Why is Tosis rejected? He says, because you cannot tell me that this logic, or shall I say, these mechanics are operative la'alocha because of another statement of Abaye. And here's Asher where your Dovah Charif issue comes in. Abaye later on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel, comes up with a new principle called harifus, something that's very sharp. Tznon shenechtach besakin shel basar mitoch harifuso hu bolea tam basar mamish. This is unbelievable, Rabbo. So we said that the sakin now becomes a secondary conduit to bring the tam basar over to the radish. And what the radish is getting is a tam kolish. It's tam to the second, if you followed it. Then, it's not tam to the second. Why? Because the harifus of the radish is a mechanical agent that creates the original tam of basar. It's almost as if you took basar and you cooked the tznon in the basar. The tznon is able to extract the original tam of the basar. Why? Because of the harifus. And this has to do with the sugi of no same tam bar, no same tam that we spoke about before, the fish that was cooked in a fleshika pot. And therefore, lo mistaber lefarish kach es taimu shel Rav Kahana. In other words, what Tosa is saying is, I don't want to force Rav Kahana's back against the wall in such a way that he rejects the concept of Dover Charev. So the concept of Tam Kolish, which we said applies in Atera, not in Isura, does not apply in the case of a Dover Charev. The Dover Charev prevents some Tam Sheni from becoming a Tam Kolish. Normally a Tam Sheni is called a Tam Kolish, but that's only if everything is parva, so to speak. Parva, I mean to say that it's not charev. But once it's charev, forget about Tam Kolish. So here Tosas had got me so excited that we had a brilliant understanding of Kahana and why he was Mekil, because of Tam Kolish and Tam Dehetera, and now he throws it out. He throws it overboard. Acharitva Piresh, the Ritva gives another twist here to understand Rav Kahana based on Abaye. Shemi achar shahatznon bola bitzonim. Okay, now we have another variable that we have to enter into the equation. Namely what? That the tzonim is cold. Right? We put, that was one of the three descriptions we had of the tzonim. Is lo bola elatam kolosh. How do you like that? That even if we're talking about a dover charif, says the Ritva, a Dover Charif transforms a Tam Kolish into a Tam Ikri, but only in a case of Rosach. If there's no Rasicha and it's pure Tzonim, then Lobola El Tam Kolish, despite the fact that it's a Dover Charif. And therefore, Dailo Bahadocha, and all you need is Hadocha. After you do the Hadocha, Mutal Leochlo Bekutach.
So what would be the
nafkimin? Whole noob shot in Abaye.
But if you say it's Roseach,
yeah,
what would be the difference between being the Sakin on something else that's not so?
So let's just go through the rules again. If okay. You don't mind a chazor, because okay. I need a chazor.
Okay,
so what I'm saying is like following. There's before the Ritva and after the Ritva. Before the Ritva, we have Tosus, but in Tosus we have before the Tosus and after the Tosus. Okay, so we have three levels here. So the first level of Tosus, to try to justify Rav Kahana, is to say that the Tam of Basar in the Tzon is called a Tam Kolush, and it's a Tam Dehetera. A Tam Kolush of Hetera cannot generate a Blias Isur, a Blias Oseres. Tosus rejects it. Why? This is stage number two in our discussion, because Tosas has a sugya of Abaye later on called the Dover Charev, which means when do we say that a Tam Sheni is a Tam Kolish and a no Seres? That's only if it's not a Dover Charev. But if it's a Dover Charev, it's a sharp thing. The sharp thing has this amazing power as an agent to bring out the original Tam in its full-fledged thing. Comes along the Ritva, and he says the following. Then you know when a Dover Charev becomes a problem? That's only if it's Roseach. But if it's Tzonin, so you want to use this stone in Kutach, and everything's cold, you want to put it in your yogurt, that's fine. Why? Now I'm not sure the answer to this question, why, but I can just tell you not the why, but at least the mathematical conclusion, the formulation is that Dover Charev, according to the Ritva's understanding, this is not Tosas, is only capable of being that agent of taking a Tam Kolish and upgrading it to a full-fledged Tam, a primary Tam, if it's hot. So if you take a knife and you cut a cold radish with this fleshic knife, then I don't care about Dover Charev. I still go back to my logic of a Tam Sheni, which is a Tam Kolish, and it's Hetera, and it's Tzonin. So now I can cut it with Tzonin, except I need a dog.
If I use a knife on a hot piece of cheese, fleshic knife.
Ah, because the original Blia was hot.
Yeah, so I'm trying to understand how he would differentiate between that and the Charev. Now he's making the distinction of Charev, but if it's hot, if it's, he's saying you need a
Let's say you hot cut Charev. A hot piece of cheese with what? A parva knife?
A fleshic knife.
Oh, okay. So now I cut a hot piece of cheese, which is not a Dover Charev, with a fleshic knife. Correct?
So
what are we saying? That now that the fleshic knife is being used as roseach,
right?
So then, is it called? Is that called the Tam Kolosh or not?
Yeah.
Let's think about it. Just one second. You managed, Usher, to get me confused, sorry. Which is good. No, don't be sorry.
I understand.
Yeah, if you got me confused, all you did was prove to myself if I was fooling myself that I don't know what I'm talking about here. You know, there are too many factors here, too many variables. So let me see if Usher's question can be answered. I think. Oh, so let's say, for example, according to the Ritva, Rav Kahana is based on Tam Kolosh, despite the fact that it's known as a Dovah Charev, because it's Tzoni. So again, let's just, before we get to your question, Osher, if now he would take this Tzoni and throw it into a hot pot of Milchiks, that would be a problem. Why? Because since you have now a combination of the Dovah Charev Biroseach, that, according to the Ritva, would prevent you from using Tam Kolosh, right? In other words, we have Tam Kolosh on one side of the equation, and against that we have Charif together with Roseach. So if you have Charif plus Roseach against Tam Kolosh, then forget about Tam Kolosh. Okay, so that much I think I got. Now you're asking, what would be if I use the Sakin Shel Basar? Now I want to cut not Roseach, I'm sorry, not Charif, but Roseach. So let's just think about this. According to what we're saying here, Rav Kahana would be allowing you to use it only Mitzone, but not Biroseach. So now the question is, why not apply the principle of Tam Kolosh? Yeah, what are you going to say? It's Roseach. So if it's Roseach, if it's a Tam Kolosh, it doesn't make sense to say that you'd be allowed to do that.
Right.
Correct? Now, why not? L'chora, logically, you should be allowed to do that. Why? Because if the Ritva is accepting the principle of what? Of Tam Kolosh, and Tosis only rejected Tam Kolosh because it was a Dovah Charif. But now the Ritva is qualifying that Dovah Charif only applies to Roseach. Just one second. But right, so that's Dovah Charif. Now, wait a minute. So where does Roseach fit into it? You see, it's a little confusing because we never really approached the question of Roseach. Meaning, what did Rav Kahana say? Rav Kahana said that Snow Shechatocho Besakin Butala Ochlo Bekuta. Right? He never said that you're allowed to put it into Roseach. So Roseach itself would seemingly be Osur. We want to know about Tzonim, and would it be Osur in Tzonim? So Rav Kahana says no. And the logic of Tosus originally and the Ritva, even in his Maskona, is Tam Kolosh. That is a Tam Kolosh of Heter, and therefore you're allowed to use it Bitsonin. Now, what happens when you use it Biroseach? I think, Asher, that's an excellent question, and I think the answer is that's Asher, but I'm not sure that it's relevant to our discussion. Meaning, what I'm just trying to say, just the technical, is that your question is really on the Gemara itself. Let's read the Gemara. The Gemara says that Snod Shechatocho Besakin is mutali ochlo bekusach, correct? And a kusach is a dover tzone.
Right.
So now the question is: are you allowed to take this tzone and throw it into a milch kapat and cook it?
Right.
And I think the answer is that it's awesome. Then we have to figure out why.
But I'm trying to understand the ritva. What's if that's the case? Then what's the ritva? What's the chiddush of the ritva? That's what I was trying to understand.
The chiddush of the ritva is, I think, if I'm reading this correctly, against Tosfos, is that forget about Dovah Charif, because Dovah Charif only applies if you are using it biroseach.
So,
but if he's using it bitzone, then Dovah Charif doesn't apply.
What's the difference between? That's my point. What is the ritva? How does the ritva differentiate between a Dovah Charif and she'ena Charif biroseach? That's what
instead of cutting a hot cheese, he's cutting something par pot. He's cutting hot carrots. And can you then put the carrots in with the kuzak? Because they're not Charif. According to Ritva, it sounds like
right.
If they're
it
hot,
be allowed.
Not Charif,
be allowed.
Would be allowed.
Right, but I don't know if that's going to answer Asha's question. I mean, just one second. Asha's asking, why... Why does the Ritva, just one second, need to say that since it's Sodin, employing you? Nachman, can you ask your question one more time?
Just the Ritva is making a distinction between the snow that it's Harif, right, and only when it's Roseach. Saying that's the only time it's going to be Osir, when it's Roseach.
Right. And it's going to convert a Tam Kolish into a Tam
right.
Mach.
And my question is, how does that differentiate from anything else once it's Roseach?
I see. Yeah. Let me go over again. In other words, if it's Roseach, so forget about the fact that it's it's Sodin.
Yeah, I don't see one second.
If it's Roseach. Yeah, but I think the answer is Eidochidami. You're probably 100% right. The Ritva is only pointing out that the Chiddush of Abaye is that since Kutach is Sonen, therefore you don't have to worry about the fact that it's a Davar Charev. But Eidochidami, you're 100% right. If he uses the carrier of the Davar Charev, I'm sorry. If he uses the carrier of the Tam Kolosh in Roseach, then it's irrelevant whether it's a Dovah Charev or not. I think.
Okay.
Again, there are a lot of variables here, so everything I say is Be'ravon Mugbal. You know, it's like limited liability. You know.
That doesn't make sense to me, because why would he then differentiate? Let me just understand. You just said that if it's Roseach, then it doesn't matter.
If it's Charif or not Charif.
It doesn't matter what's Charif. So right. Then what does it matter whether
it's
Charif
or not?
So your case
of carrots. Carrots
would still be up.
Carrots that were cut with a fleshing knife, you'd have a problem if you want to eat those carrots in a milch kapat.
Then why would he make the difference? Then what does it matter whether it's Charif?
Because explaining
he Charif, wants to explain the following. In the case that Rav Kahana and Abai tried to embellish it, would be matter even a case where you cut stone. Not only carrots, but stone. You might say, well, once you cut stone, then it's a tam gomur. It's a complete regular tam, a shtaka tam of basar. You can't eat it even bekutach, even if it's cold. No, it's a tam kolosh. Why? Because you're eating it with cold kutach.
Okay, I still don't understand, because the Ritva makes a distinction that the charef only matters if it's roteach.
No, but you're right. So therefore,
but if it's not Charif, then it still matters if it doesn't. If it's Roseach,
it
doesn't matter if it's Charif at all.
No, that's the Chiddush. That you would have thought that the Charif is going to be applicable. It's going to cause a problem even when it's cold. And Ritva is saying that no, it only.
And that's actually close to sheet.
But I guess, but if it's hot and it's not Charif,
I'm sorry if I.
Then it would imply that. Then the Ritva doesn't matter. He doesn't care whether it's Charif or not. If it's Roseach, then it's a problem. If it's not Roseach, then it's not a problem.
No, but that's Chiddush he's saying. He's saying
that Charif doesn't matter.
Well, that's right. But you would have thought that Charif mattered. You would have thought that Charif mattered.
But that doesn't sound right. That Charif doesn't matter. We have a whole thing about Charif.
You know, let me think it over. And I'll try to get back to you on Sunday. Are you around on Sunday?
Should be.
Okay.
So, I won't be on Sunday.
Oh, you're not here on Sunday? Okay.
You have to find the answer.
I wish everyone a good show.